Well, like Brother Hagin used to say, if we left now, we could say we've been to church, right? We've had some good things happen, but thankfully, nobody's going to turn the lights off on us or run us out of the building. We can just go until. You guys are such a joy to minister to. Look with me in the scriptures to Psalm 103, the 103rd Psalm. If you were here last night, I left you hanging just a little bit. So I didn't forget. I will finish that. And then we got a really important Bible account to look at and consider tonight. I'm excited about it. There's nothing like the Word of God. It is just perfect and inexhaustible. Hallelujah. It's, I'd have to talk in tongues. It's just, do you know what I'm talking about? The Word of God is the Word of God. Psalm 103, verse 1. And if you haven't been with us, let me encourage you, go online, faithlife.org, and you can get the previous messages from the previous two nights. No charge, no cost. We're building on that. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. There are times you need to talk to yourself. And you need to speak to everything that's in you and tell it what to do. Words matter. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Thank God for the benefit of not going to hell. But there's more than one benefit. And He mentions a partial list right here. Benefit number one, forgives all your iniquities. Number two, heals all your diseases. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Number three, He redeems your life from destruction. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you, Lord. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I ministered in another place recently. The Lord quickened to me about finishing our course. And the scripture where Paul said, none of these things move me. And I don't count my life dear to myself that I might finish my course with joy. And the Lord connected that to Hebrews 12 where He said that the Lord endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. And He spoke to my heart, you won't finish without joy. You and I won't finish our God-ordained race course. We won't make it to the end without joy. Because what is joy? Was it Nehemiah? Joy of the Lord is your... Well, to run an endurance race requires maintaining a pace for a length of time till you get all the way to the end. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, what's the absence of joy? What's depression? This is why the enemy works so hard to get folks into depression. And sadly, there's a whole lot of church-going people. They are just depressed and taking a lot of medications for depression, and that can create a whole other set of problems. And just on and on, and I'm not mocking. I'm saying it's not God's will.
That's right.
That's right.
It's not God's plan.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
Is God big enough to deliver us?
Yes, he is.
Huh? From any and all of the works of darkness so that they have no power and influence over our minds and souls and beings. Come on, somebody said out loud, I do not have to be depressed ever. You don't have to be. But you will have to do something with your mind. You will have to control your thought life. And it matters what you look at, what you listen to, and who you hang around. It matters. It matters. But if we'll do what the Lord tells us, we can be completely free. And even you might be tempted to get down or depressed, but you can do just what he's talked about. You can talk to your soul and say, soul, why are you trying to act all cast down? No, no, God's done too much for you. I don't walk by how I feel. I don't walk by how I look. I walk by faith. And faith says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And if the Son has set you free, I am. Not trying to be, not might get the, I am free indeed. But back to the thought, if the enemy can get you depressed and discouraged, again and again, that leads to dying younger and not finishing your course and your race. But think about the New Testament scriptures. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, in case you wasn't paying attention, hey, rejoice. Got nothing to do with how you feel or what's going on. Huh?
Yeah. Amen.
And brethren, count it all joy when you fall into what?
Divers.
Say what? Divers temptations. Trials and tests. Now that is good, strong faith.
Amen.
Huh? When you got issues, you got troubles.
Yes,
you know, Paul said this, we had trouble on every side. But, huh? When you got issues, you got problems, but you will not bend to them. You will not yield to them. You can't control everything that happens outside you. You can control what happens inside you. You can control where your mind is, where your focus is. But if we're going to finish our course, we have to maintain some joy. And we cannot yield and give place to depression and discouragement. You can't maintain that indefinitely. You'll just get weaker and weaker, and the enemy wants you to get to the point where you think, what's the use? I just want to go home to be with the Lord. And the thing is, life is short enough as it is. You do not want to give up. So, the scripture said in Romans, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And I saw this in my mind's eye some years ago. On your car, there's some gauges you better check once in a while.
Hello.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the fuel gauge. Huh? Because if that fuel gauge gets over there next to the E and it hovers around there for a while, come on, help me out. You better do something.
Yeah. That's right?
If you don't, you're going to have a rude surprise.
Uh-huh.
come on, cha-cha. And in life, in your faith mobile, there's a couple of gauges you got to keep the eye on. It's the joy gauge. Come on, help me out. And the peace gauge. Right? I mean, if you're full of joy and you're full of peace, you're hitting on all cylinders. You're doing good. Put the hammer down. Let's go. You're going over big for Jesus. But you lay out of church, don't pray, watch too much junk, listen to too much junk, hang around with sad sack depressed people. You might know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And next thing you know, you look up and, oh, man, quarter tank. Oh, man. Eighth of a tank. Oh, man. He don't do something. If you don't change something, sputter, it's going to leave you on the roadside of despair.
That's right.
Yeah. Come on now. Yeah.
That's Amen. Right. That's right.
That's one reason we have meetings like this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah.
You drop in at the filling station.
Yeah.
Yeah. You say, hey, fill her up.
Yeah.
I want that high octane.
Yeah.
I want that. Fill her up. That's what Phyllis and I have been doing for years. All the wonderful meetings of Rhema and other places and Copeland's and conferences. And it's a lifeline.
Yes, it is.
And if you're a preacher, that's wonderful. You're giving out, but you got to receive too.
Yes.
Is that right? You got to have something put in you. And it needs to be on a certain level.
Yes.
Depending on where you are and where you're ministering. Everybody just ministers where they're at, but it's mostly about the connections that God has made. And then only he can do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What were we talking about before I got excited? Huh?
Fill it up.
Fill it up. Yeah, we already talked about that. Keep reading our psalm. Keep reading our psalm. Y'all are great. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Would that give you some joy? Would that make you happy? And
yes.
Can you see it's all connected? And then your youth is renewed. This is not depression. Keep going. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So since Monday, we've been talking about these same truths. The difference between ways and acts are doings. And several translations, instead of saying acts, it says will or wills, which they saw God's will demonstrated. They saw his act. But it doesn't mean they knew his ways. If you go back to the 95th Psalm, Psalm 95 talks about this. It says, verse 8, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. Well, then that's his doings, his acts. They saw that. But 40 years long was I grieved with that generation, and said, it's a people that do err in their heart. And he says specifically what the error was. They have not known my ways. And I mentioned that after some, a few decades now, being a part of what we call the Word of Faith group, which is not a movement.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. Paul preached the Word of Faith.
That's right.
But going back to the particularly the 70s and later to this day, we received revelation through people like Brother Kenneth Hagin and numerous others about faith. And that was his directive, go teach my people faith. And we learned that in order to have faith, you got to have a revelation of God's will. And we learned not to pray for healing with an if it be thy will. And not to put a if it be thy will in every prayer that you pray by rote. That you had to know the will of God. Had to be settled and confident in the will of God. But, you know, getting that, I think a lot of our folks just said, well, that's a bad phrase. If it be thy will, we just need to get rid of that phrase altogether. And that was a mistake. I said that was a mistake. Because if it be thy will is a phrase Paul used himself numerous times in talking about his goings, his doings, his things. And we've understood, for instance, that healing is God's will. Just like being forgiven is God's will. Being born again is God's will. So you don't have to pray, heal me, Lord, if it be thy will. But you don't get to tell him how to do it. That's the thing where people have kind of filled in the blanks and not understood. God's will and his ways are different things. And he has just an unlimited amount of ways of doing things. And we must not fill in the blank. We must not assume things. It's not enough just to learn faith principles and then say, God, I got it from here. Nope. Faith is not being independent. Faith in God is completely dependent on him every day. And so every day, even though you might know the will of God, there's numerous questions you need answers to. Okay, we know this is the will of God, but we also need to know how to make the first step. Who else would be involved? Where, when we implement this? I mean, there's this myriad of questions all the time. And that's where we have to seek God and get from him his ways of doing this.
Yes, amen.
In James, we saw this. Book of James, chapter 4, verse 13. He said, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, we'll spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Now let's just stop right here. In our camp, that just sounds like a good confession. If you didn't know what was coming next, if somebody stood up and said, yes, I'm going to go. And we're going to do, and this is going to happen. And we're going to make money, and we're going to be successful. And what would you say? Amen. Yes. Go. Go, brother. Because we've learned to be positive, right?
Yes.
And you don't want to be wavering. So what's wrong with this? Y'all are too quiet. Well, verse 50, is this scripture, God-inspired scripture? Instead, so this is not just James talking, this is the Holy Spirit talking. You ought to say this. Should we take this seriously or not?
Yes.
He said you ought to say this. If it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Now that seems like an odd phrase to Word of Faith folks. Because we learn you don't say that. No. We learned you don't say that about healing. That it's God's will for you to be healed. Or anything that the Lord very clearly and plainly told you is bought and paid for and belongs to you in redemption. But even though you might be completely persuaded and convinced and established in His will, what else have we got to know to walk this out? We got to know His ways of us doing this. And that's why you must not try to exercise faith apart from the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's why a lot of folks have had heartache and failures and didn't understand why things didn't work. You must not separate exercising faith from being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, people talk about what Brother Hagin, you know, taught us about faith. He did. He also had a lot to say about being led by the Spirit.
Yes, amen.
Didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is one of the greatest things you will ever learn.
Yes.
In your life is identifying the witness of the Spirit in you, because that's how He communicates to you. You don't have to try to hear voices or feel hot flashes, cold flashes, or see visions or fall into trances. He communicates by the knowing. And we should function by the unction. Just a continual checking and perceiving and checking and asking and knowing. And this is how we will perceive His ways of doing anything on any given day. He said, you should say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast. And you brag. All such boasting is evil. And anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. What's wrong with the person's statement? They didn't ask God.
Yeah. It's good.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
They didn't ask Him. They just said, we're going to do this. And, you know, we've learned some principles about faith. You know, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And whatever you ask in My name, I'll give it to you. But you got to include all the scriptures. He said, if you live in Me. Come on, y'all. And My words live in you. Then you ask what you will. Oh, come on, can you see this?
Amen.
And this is not just learning some faith principles and then going, thank you, Lord, a whole lot. I got it. I got it from here. No, this is every moment of every day reliant. Why did He give us the Holy Spirit? Because we needed help. Right? And boy, did He give us help.
Yes.
We got all the help we will ever need in the person of Him. But we must look and ask and check. I started reading some of these in other scriptures in the New Testament. I'll just read them again. Acts 18:21. Acts 18:21. He bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that comes in Jerusalem, but I'll return again to you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And what I said, you'll notice a real difference between the first part of this verse and the last part of the verse. See, you can tell he's confident he's heard from the Lord about being at that feast. Right? And he said, we got to get there, and that's what he's believing. But about seeing them on return, he hadn't got all of that settled. And so he says, if God will. In other words, that's what I'm thinking right now. But if the Lord will. Is it all right to say that?
Yes.
Look at your neighbor. Help them out. Say, it's okay. To say, if the Lord will. It's okay. 1 Corinthians 4:19. Paul said this. He said, I will come to you shortly if the Lord will. And I'll know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Any time that we know something of the Lord, we just know a part. And you know, even gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the revelation manifestations, notice how they're phrased. Word of wisdom. Not even a sentence. not even a paragraph, right? What? A word. Well, how much about the situation do you know then? Huh? Just because you know something doesn't mean you know everything about what's going on. So if you know what you've heard, you don't have to say if it be thy will about that. But the rest of it, don't fill in the blanks. 1 Corinthians 16:7, he said, I will not see you by the way, now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. Is this correct language?
Yes.
It's Bible. It's New Testament. Is it all right to say that?
Yes.
In Hebrews 6, he said this, verse 1. And this was his plans on ministering, what he would minister and teach and preach. He said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, Paul had been to heaven and got revelation on redemption. And part of it you couldn't even express in human terms. So he's got knowledge and anointing and revelation way beyond the basics.
Wow. Yeah.
And he's saying, you know, he would like, don't you remember sometimes he would say, I would like to have gone further, but you couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
Remember he talked like that. And he said, he's getting stirred up here. He said, man, we can go past it. We can go on to perfection. And he said, verse 2, and we're going to do this. If God permit. Did I get verse 3? Yeah. And we're going to do this. If God permit. Because there's a whole lot you don't know. You might get there. And you're all primed to launch out into the deep. And the Lord says, got a bunch of babies here. I want you to start with the ABCs. All right. And the thing is, you didn't hear wrong. He just wants you to help get them up to speed before you start going further. Come on, do you see what I'm talking about? For anything we know, there's always so much we don't know. And so we must ask. We must inquire of the Lord. And see, even though we might have done a similar thing many times, similar way, he might want to do it completely different this time, which is why we must ask. Go with me to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. And I want us to talk about this account. The Lord's been dealing with me about this account all week prior to this too. And I'm excited about it. It's the story of Naaman, the Syrian. You ever got excited about Naaman? God's word is perfect. His accounts, you know, man, there are millions and millions and billions of things that happened over these thousands of years. But out of all of that experience of God interacting with humanity, what we have in here are hand-picked situations. And God has perfected from the beginning to the end every nuance of every word and phrase. And it's living. So that you might get all kind of things out of it tonight and you look at it tomorrow and see a whole nother thing. And right? It's all the Word of God is that way. And you really do yourself a disfavor if you neglect what people call the Old Testament. It is the Word of God. I said it's the Word of God. Just as much as what we call the New Testament. And you'll find, reading the New Testament, they are continually referring to what we call the Old Testament. And they're quoting it as Scripture and Word of God, which it is. But give your attention to this for the next few minutes. The Bible said, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, a great man with his master, honorable, because by the Lord had given deliverance to Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, you got to understand, they attacked parts of Israel and took slaves. So this is Israel's enemy. But the little maid, the young woman, the young lady is making the best of the situation. She said to her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And boy, this was an astonishing thing. Verse 4, one went in, and if you look at other translations, they translate it that Naaman went in to his king, his lord, because he had direct access. And he told what the maid said. Keep going. The king of Syria said, "All right, well, go, and I'm going to send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver. Now, a talent was anywhere from 60, 70 pounds to 120 pounds. This is a chunk. And generally speaking, a strong man could only carry one. And he had 10 of them and 6,000 pieces of gold. Now, a piece or a shekel was about 0.4 ounce. So a little less than half an ounce. So this is approximately 3,000 ounces of $5,000 an ounce gold. That's in the neighborhood of 15 million, which is a nice neighborhood. And 10 changes of raiment. And you can be sure these were not work clothes. These are, we'd call them, you know, $10,000 suits. I mean, these are, because that's in keeping with everything else. And you'll see that he's traveling with a protection detail. He's got an entire detail with him. And when you're traveling with millions of dollars, as you do.
Yeah.
Verse 6. He brought the letter to the king of Israel. And so the king read the letter, which is from the other king of Syria. And the letter says, "When this letter comes to you, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, so you can recover him of his leprosy. Best regards, king of Syria." And verse 7, it came to power, when the king of Israel read the letter, he grabbed his clothes and he ripped them. And he said, "Am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends to me to recover a man of leprosy?" He said, "Consider, look how he seeks a quarrel with me. He's trying to start a war." Because if I send back and say, "Are you crazy? I can't heal this man," he's going to say, "See there, I asked you nicely. Now it's on." He thought of war. Trying to start a war. Now, every part of this is so significant. I want you to notice ahead of time, we're talking about God's ways.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Can you see they are going about this the wrong way? The whole thing. They are going about this, approaching the wrong people with the wrong things in the wrong way. Keep reading. When Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king and said, why'd you tear your clothes up? He said, listen, let him come to me. And he will know there's a prophet in Israel. Don't you like that?
Yes.
Confidence. Amen. Huh? Yes. How many know we should not be ashamed of whose we are,
yes,
who we belong to, who we represent?
Yes.
Huh?
Right.
We should not be arrogant nor haughty, but we should not pull back and be ashamed or intimidated at all.
Amen.
Anywhere. He said, let him come. And he'll know. We got something over here. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and with his talents of silver and his $15 million in gold and his $10,000 suits. Huh? I mean, this is quite the entourage. This is quite the group. And they stood at the door of the house of Elisha. There's no way you wouldn't know they were there. You'd have heard them coming. Is that right? All these horses' hoofs and these chariot wheels. And you'd have seen the dust for a few miles. But you, yeah? Ain't no way that Elisha slept through that. But Elisha sends a messenger to him and said, go wash in Jordan 7 times and your flesh will come again to you and you will be clean. Now Elisha is the real deal. He is a real prophet. He is a real man of God. And you'll see throughout this and other things, he did not try to do things his own way. He learned serving with Elijah, and he learned from his experience walking with God that there, for the true man or woman of God, there's only one way to do it. And that's exactly the way the Lord told you to do it. No changes allowed. No changes allowed. Are y'all with me or not? This needs to be reiterated. No changes allowed. None. Yeah, but the circumstances change. If you're not speaking your own words, then you can't change it. Even if you want to. So he has obviously heard from the Lord. Now, you know, I mean, some time has elapsed because he heard about what happened at the palace. And so he had to send word. Well, he didn't pick up his cell. I mean, messengers. And it's taken time, and it took time for them to get to his house. So, very likely the Lord told him the night before or whatever, but he is a true prophet, and prophets are seers, and they see things and they hear things. Some people make it up or just imagine stuff, but there is the real thing. And so he sends the messenger out, and the messenger repeats verbatim, I imagine. And he says, read it again. He said, go, wash in Jordan 7 times. Your flesh shall come again to you and you shall be clean. This is not his idea. This is not the way he thought Naaman should do it. Hmm? And he didn't ask Naaman what he thought about it. Hmm? Notice no add-ons like, if you want to. Or if you think that's okay. Because that's not what God said. That's what he said. I know I'm sounding redundant, but don't add to, don't take from, don't alter, don't change. Come on now, with me or not? You got to watch about hearing from God about something and then, well, assuming that it means this. I've had people ask me before when the Lord specifically said something to us. And they said, well, what does that mean? And sometimes I've had to say, I don't know. Huh? We'll find out. But what must I not do? Add to it. Embellish. Change. Or take away. So the messenger says this. Then what happened? Huh? Naaman was wroth. Now that means in a rage. He really got upset. I mean, he flew hot big time. And notice what he said. Behold, I thought, that's King James. Other translations say, I thought he would surely. I thought for sure. Anybody ever heard this before? I thought for sure. I thought for sure. And that almost cost him his miracle. He came really close to missing his miracle because of that right there. I thought for sure. We're going to examine this some. You got time?
Yes.
I thought for sure he would come out. He would come out. The main man. Why? I'm Naaman. I brought 15 mil. I got kings from the letter. I got a letter from the king. Yeah, see, that's the deal. That's the issue. I thought for sure he would come out to me. He would stand. He would call on the name of his God. And then he would come over and strike his hand over the place and do the deed. Now we're laughing, but I assure you, you have done this. What do you mean? You and I have done this. Why? I hope y'all are awake.
Yes, sir.
Why would you be so sure? Why was Naaman so sure that that's what would happen? How do you get to that? Why? You know, part of a diagnosis of some conditions is visions of grandeur.
That's right.
Which is a psychological condition that you're not in touch with reality. And you have fantasies and imagine things. Did you hear that word? Imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Imagine. Yeah.
Imagine. You imagine things that are that way and are going to happen that way and they have no basis in reality. But you become convinced that's how they are. And that's how they're going to happen. You know, if everybody's forehead was a TV screen, which we are so glad it's not, but you could see what was playing on their mind. The most popular channel of all is the me channel. You got the me, history of me. You got me and my mind show. You got reruns about me. Even the commercials are about me. Now you're laughing, but I'm telling you, sneak up on yourself sometime. Come in the back door and see what's on the screen. And see how many times it's about moi. Huh? This is the revelation of the scenario. See, he had seen himself riding in on his special horse. Right? With his impressive military company with him. And he sees the little prophet come out, the little preacher, awestruck that such dignitaries would come visit their little place. And he sees the prophet's been preparing for him to come. And that they receive him and give him the full spiritual treatment. With all of the performance. And maybe, just maybe, there'll be something happen by the gods. Little g. Are y'all with me? Because see, in his country, they worshipped Rimmon and other gods. He didn't come there to get converted. He came there because he's dying from this incurable disease, this awful, debilitating disease that no amount of money can fix and nothing he's ever tried. So you get desperate. And he just heard this young girl say that. And he thought, well, I got connections. I got money. He goes tell the king. The king says, go. Do it. And then if it happened, then everybody is overwhelmed by what happened to him. And then he lavishes huge sums of money on everybody so that he doesn't feel like he owes anybody anything. And then he leaves, and no doubt word would precede him back and there would be a full-on reception at home. And it's like one of the events of the decade. Which is why God said, uh-uh. No. We ain't doing it that way. Ain't going to be any fanfare. Ain't going to be any special treatment. It's going to be no money involved. It won't be because of your king or his king. Oh, come on, y'all listening. Are y'all with me on this? How many know man has his ideas and his ways, but God's got his way? And he's not going to say, okay, I'm going to do it your way.
Right.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
It was about him. You know, in the New Testament, it talks about this. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh.
Amen.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to God,
right.
Mighty in God to the pulling down of
strongholds. Yeah.
Amen. Doing what? Casting down
imaginations
and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This thing that Naaman had in his mind, he became convinced it was going to happen that way. That was a stronghold in his thinking. And if you don't cast down the initial imaginations, they can become strongholds of you expecting things that are not even realistic. That was a little better preaching than the amen. Y'all with me or not?
Yes.
When thoughts come and you are the star of the scenario, it's time to start grabbing. Is that right? And slamming. Because if you let it sit, how many times, don't raise your hand, but how many times have good people in churches and good people in ministries, they got this idea in their mind that they were owed more. That they should have a greater freedom and more of a place, and that people are not acknowledging their gift. And do you hear, though, it's all about them. It's about, I wasn't acknowledged and I wasn't this and I wasn't that. Yeah, but where did you ever get the idea that it was supposed to be about you? Where did that come? I'll tell you where it came from. The original, it's all about me devil.
Yeah, that's right.
And his cohorts, that's where it came from. And he is the main sponsor of Me TV and Me Channel. He pays for the advertising. He underwrites it. And he's always got these visions of grandeur and where you are the star and it all revolves around you.
Yes.
Y'all okay or not? Put up 1 John 2:16. 1 John 2:16. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is what we're talking about. That last one. That's why Naaman was so sure how it was going to happen. Because he let these thoughts get in his head, and he had no reason to think that's exactly how it would happen. But he just decided, yeah, that's, I thought for sure. Have you ever heard that phrase?
Yeah.
I thought for sure. Yeah, but why did you? What basis did you have for thinking that? If you don't cast down the imaginations, they'll become strongholds. And you get locked in to a way of seeing something. Listen to the, normally the Message is not my favorite translation, but I thought this was interesting here. In the Message, verse 16, it says practically everything that goes on in the world. Is that the one we got? Yeah. Wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, and wanting to appear important. This is what Phyllis calls show and tell. And it is a big deal. The Young's literal translation, instead of saying the pride of life, it talks about ostentation. And that's literally what ostentation is showing and showing off. And isn't that what he was doing? He's coming in full regalia. Everything stops while he rolls in. And they should just be so awed that such a great dignitary has come to their little church. You hear people use the language, man, our little preacher, we got one of the best little preachers. That's a serious lack of respect. Serious lack of respect. Moving right along. Said, it has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. And the world, with all its wanting, is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants, you can say it like this, does it His way, is set for eternity. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Go back to 2 Kings 5. One of the big reasons why Naaman is in the Bible. Did he have a wrong idea? Oh yeah. Did he react wrongly? Yes. But you know why he's in there? He was willing to repent.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, y'all with me. He was willing to repent.
That's right.
He was willing to humble himself and just do what God told him, the way God told him to do it.
Amen.
Friend, you know, in this life, it's not just what you do, it's what you do last. Huh? You can make some big messes. I mean, you can just break all the rules. But if you won't be stubborn, hard-hearted, and you're willing to acknowledge that you missed it and not hide it and not blame other people. Come on, y'all with me. Can't do that. And you are willing to do exactly what He said, just the way He said to do it. Isn't that what Jesus' mother told him at the wedding feast? The key to miracles? What? Whatever He says to you, do it. And He says, fill the water pots with water. They had myriad opportunities to change up what He said. Right?
Right.
They could have changed all kind of stuff. Why is it in the Bible? Because they didn't change what He said. They did exactly what He said, the way He said. And we've been talking about it every generation since, about the water turned into wine.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Keep going. What were we, verse 11 or so? Naaman was wroth. So they squealed out and burned rubber out of the driveway. Well, the horses pawed real hard. And they blasted out. He's mad. He finally spoke up and said, I thought for sure He would come out. He would call on the name of His God. He would strike His hand over the place. Verse 12. Abinad, Pharpar, rivers of Damascus. Better. See, He didn't come to get converted. Last trip He made to Israel, He killed people and took slaves. He sees them as inferior. If he can get something, okay. But it insults him that got to wash in their river. Our river's way better than their rivers. If I want to wash. So he turned and went away in a rage. He's this close to not being in the Bible. He's this close to dying young from leprosy. this close to never getting a miracle. Because he thought for sure. As they're speeding down the road, one of his main folks leaned in and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some big, hard thing, wouldn't you have done it? And you know, we brought all this money. We came all this way. We were prepared. Go big. Do big. He said, how much rather? He just said, go wash. And be clean. 14. And there was a silence. And then Naaman said, you know, we were ready to do big stuff. We're here. Maybe we just go. And they all said, oh, that's a good idea, sir. Yes, sir. That's a... But regardless, oh, this is what's so wonderful about our God. I want you to back up now. Not too many days before this, he is killing Israelites. And he is stealing people for slaves. And then he goes and tries to treat God's main prophet of the land like nobody, and tries to go around him. And yet after all that, God's word stands. You do what I said. You do it my way. I will back my word. Hallelujah. As soon as he went, didn't matter about his feelings at this point. He's doing it. And he went where God said, and he did what God said do. And he did it exactly what the Lord said, seven times. And the seventh time he came up, he's had this nasty, dead flesh. It was like walking dead. Necrosis. The flesh is literally dead on your body. Sloughing off and can't feel. And he raises his hand up and it's like a little baby's skin. And his whole arm is that way. And his face is that way. And the pain is gone. And in a moment. Oh, somebody say in a moment. In a moment. A miracle. Does God still do miracles? Huh? Let me tell you though, he does them his way. He does them his way. We must not try to tell him how to do it. This wouldn't have happened if he had done anything other than this. And he is, at this moment, he's a changed man.
Yes.
His heart is changed. You can tell it by the next encounter. His heart is changed. He is changed. This is no joke. This is what nobody thought could happen. His life forever changed. So he immediately gets back in his chariot and they head straight back to the prophet's house. Keep reading. He returned to the man of God, not the little preacher. The man of God. He and all his company. And came and stood before him. He got out of his chariot. Stood on the ground. And he said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. That's what God wanted. That's why he did it this way. Huh? So that nobody could take the credit. Not the Syrian king, not the Israeli king, not the money, not Naaman, not even Elisha. He didn't even come out of the house. Oh, come on, can you see this? And the thing that's reverberating through Naaman's being is, I don't care who says anything about any gods anywhere. I know this is real. This is God. And this is the only God. And so he becomes at that moment a believer in Jehovah God. And he even is telling him, he says, I'm not going to burn a sacrifice or pray to any other God. I'm done. As somebody who has received such a miracle should be. And so, keep reading. I know there's no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now I pray you, take a blessing of your servant. He brought the money to, for who knows all what reasons, but now that's changed. He just wants to give him something. You can't pay for this. You can't buy this. But he wants to give him something. And Elisha said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, this is strong. I will receive none. Nothing. And Naaman said, oh, come on. I got lots. Here, at least take the suits. Preachers need suits. Huh? Okay, if you don't want all the gold, take some silver. You know, it's going up in price. Take. And he urged him, if you read other translations, he really tried for a while to get Elisha. And Elisha said, absolutely no. Which, why would he say that? Because if you read other accounts, there were times when people brought things to Elisha in the school of the prophets. They received it. Why? This is part of God's way. Oh, come on, can you see it? And we need to watch about this. When it comes to salvations, when it comes to deliverances, when it comes to healings, we don't talk money. Oh, that was too weak. I said, do not mix in money with that. It's already bought. It's already paid for. And if anybody tries to pay you for a healing, and friends, listen, if you've had a great healing line and good things are happening, you don't then stop and take an offering right then. No. 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 And there'll be times, if we listen, the Lord will say, not a dollar. None. This will remind you of what happened with Abraham when the kings of Sodom came and said, give us the people and you take all the money. And Abram said, I have lifted up my hand before God. You hear how strong that is and how strong what he said? No, as the Lord lives, he said. Why? He's heard from God about this. And when you've heard from God, help me out. You must not change it. You must not alter it at all. You don't add to. You don't take from. He said, I won't receive anything. And that's what Abram said. He said, no, I won't receive a shoelace from you. Nothing means
nothing.
No. God's ways involve timing. Did y'all hear me? Sometimes it's not a matter that it was wrong to receive something. It's not the time. This is not the right situation. This is not the right place. It's not the right time because people will associate it with something else and get the idea that they're paying for something or they're buying something. That you can buy the anointing or that you can buy a blessing or that you can buy a healing or a deliverance. You cannot.
Come on. Amen.
You cannot.
Right.
And so he said, no, nothing. Because this is part of God's way. See, Naaman, his whole life has been about people and connections and money. Can you see that's how he started this thing out? He knows people. He's got connections. They got connections. He's got money. Hmm? And God said, uh-uh. We ain't doing this. None of this. And he put his word on his man and said, you don't take a dollar. Not one thing. And to his credit. Everybody in church goes, that's what he should have done. When's the last time you turned down $15 million? Oh, yeah. It's easy to set up in church all sanctimonious and go, oh, yeah, yeah. He did just what he should have done. How many folks would have said, let the Lord lead you? We've been believing for some big things around here. Oh, hear the word. It's not that God doesn't want you to have things. It's not that it's wrong to give. It's not that it's wrong to receive. On this occasion, not time. Not the time or place to do this, to receive anything. God wanted it crystal clear. His favor, his accomplishments, his money, his contacts got him nothing. None of that got him his healing or his miracle. There is a God in Israel. And if you listen to him and do exactly what he said, you can get a miracle. And you'd be glad to see him right off into the sunset. And this is a good day. But it's not the end of the chapter. Keep reading. Naaman said, well, give me 2 mules load of earth. What's he want that for? He wants some dirt where the God of Israel is. And your servant will not offer burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but unto the Lord, only to the Lord. He said, in this thing, would the Lord pardon your servant? When my master goes to the house of Rimmon to worship, he leans on my hand. He expects me to bow, and I bow myself there. Would the Lord pardon me for doing that? Because he'd probably get killed if he didn't. And Elisha said, go in peace. You're okay. He wasn't in charge of that. So he departed a little way. No spinning tires, no squealing, no mad, praising God. But Gehazi. The servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master had spared Naaman. Now notice he throws in this Syrian. This is an enemy. Been attacking and stealing people. And not receiving at his hands. He's probably thinking, he owes us money. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take, so I won't take it all, but I'll take something. Because you know this job don't pay that much. I don't really appreciate my gift. And you know, give me the full scope of reign that I should have. Wow. Mm. Oh my. Oh my. Someone go and I'll get something. Verse 21. Gehazi followed after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he put the brakes on. And he gets down again out of his chariot on the ground. And he says, is everything okay? And he said, oh, yeah, everything's fine. But my master sent me. Oh. Huh? Now, here's one of the big things. If you look up the scriptures that tell you, we're talking about the ways of the Lord. There are several scriptures that say the way of the Lord is this or the way of the Lord is that. In Revelation, it talks about His ways are true. And His ways are truth. All God's ways are true. When you get into any kind of a lie or misrepresentation or falsehood, you have left the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Is that right? So any participation in any covering, hiding, lying, distorting, falsifying, that is not God's way. You have left God's way, because God's way, always truth, perfect truth. So now here's an interesting thing. Gehazi has lived and worked as close to a real man of God as anybody could on the earth in his generation. And here he is lying over money. Similar thing happened to him that happened to Judas Iscariot. It was over money. Keep reading. He said, just now, my master said for me to come, and he said, there's coming to me two young men from Mount Ephraim, and they're sons of the prophets. And basically, you know, I wouldn't take anything for myself, but I'll take something for them. You know, just a talent of silver and two of them $10,000 suits would be fine. Friend, this we should not take lightly. This should be offensive to our souls. Huh? In the midst of this mighty miracle, nation-shaking miracle. Huh? What do you think's going to happen when he gets back home? He's going straight to his king. Is that right? And everybody's going to know about this. Who knows the ripple effects of this miracle in both of those nations and beyond? And in the middle of this, Gehazi, who has a favored close place with the anointing, making up lies and misrepresenting Elisha and God.
Come on.
See, what's he saying? He's saying, because Naaman knew. He tried to get Elisha to take something for several minutes.
Right.
So now Elisha looks fickle. He said no. But then he got thinking about all that money he missed, and so he changed his mind. So money does rule the world, including church. He said, keep going. I'll take, you know, two of those talents and two of those nice suits. And they laid them on two of his servants. That's one reason you see. One man couldn't carry two talents. And they keep going. He came to the tower. He said, well, this is good enough. I'll take it from here. And he put it and hid it and let them go, and they departed. Now, here's a revelation about the prophet's ministry. Prophets don't know everything any more than anyone else does. They would only know a man or woman that's a prophet. They would only know what the Lord showed them. If they knew everything, Gehazi would know he could never get away with this. Do y'all see this? But he's been around the man of God long enough to know he doesn't know everything. And so he thinks he's got a shot at doing this, nobody the wiser. So when he walks in the room, Elisha said, where are you coming from, Gehazi? He said, I didn't go anywhere. He's a liar. Can you see this? He's just lying and lying. And lying, I don't know of anything that is more devilish than lying. It's the only thing I know of that the Bible says ever that the devil fathered. Is that right? It is uniquely him. And to lie is to be like the devil. Is to be like God's enemy. Somebody say never.
Never.
Not me. I don't care how much you've done it in the past. Make a commitment tonight. Say, I am done with lying. Whatever it takes, whatever you have to deal with, you do. But you do not. Why? Because if you do that, you are siding in with the enemy who is influencing you and tempting you to lie. You have left God's way. It's not going to work out. He said, where you been? Where'd you go? He said, oh, I haven't been anywhere. Now, he said, didn't my heart go with you? When the man turned and got off the chariot to meet you, he saw him. The prophet's ministry was in manifestation. He was there. Even though his body was back home. He saw him, heard exactly what was said, heard Gehazi stand there flat-footed and bald-faced and lie and say that he sent him. He said, didn't my heart go? When the man got out of his chariot, did you hear this phrase? Hear this next phrase? Is it time? Oh, come on, you're with me. Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
God's not opposed to us being enriched. But not our way and not our time and certainly not through lying. He said, is it time to receive money and to receive garments? And you see Elisha just like Naaman. Oh, I hope everybody's awake now.
Yeah.
The same spirits that were destroying Naaman's life were right there. And Naaman had just got delivered and healed. So these spirits that were oppressing him are looking for somewhere to go and influence somebody. Can you see this? And so what was wrong with Naaman where he almost missed his miracle?
Yes.
This stronghold from imaginations about what was going to happen, how was all, and it was all about him and revolve around him. And the prophet is saying by the Spirit, he said, is it time to receive money and garments? To what reason? Elisha had visions of olive yards and vineyards and sheep. And oxen, and that he wouldn't have to work for somebody. He'd have people working for him. Men servants, maid servants. He had the same kind of imagination that Naaman had had. All about him. And he's willing to lie to get it because he loved the money.
Wow.
And what he imagined the life, the money would give him. Of the olive yards, vineyards, sheep, oxen, men servants, maid servants. Keep going. The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman. Now, how, we've got to back up. How did Naaman become leprous to start with? Leprosy is a curse. Curse, not the blessing. And in him longing for and wanting what Naaman had, he got all that Naaman had, including the leprosy. People say, well, yeah, but, you know, thank the Lord, that's Old Testament. Book of Acts is not Old Testament. When God is moving, healings are happening, miracles are happening, the one thing you do not want to do is stand up in the middle of that and tell lies. Did y'all hear me? What happened to Ananias and Sapphira in similar situation in the New Testament church? God was doing signs and wonders. I mean, the shadow of Peter was falling on people. Things were happening. People loved God so much they were selling properties. They were liquidating. I mean, there's a move of the Spirit. And they stood up and lied to Peter's face. He said, you didn't just lie to me. You lied to God about money. And fell dead on the spot in the age of grace. In the same New Testament church that you and I are a part of. One reason we're talking about this. We're believing, I'm confident you are too, for miracles, signs, wonders that only God can do. Hallelujah. The kind of thing that unbelievers, that 10th generation false God worshipers fall down and say, there's only one God. There's only one God. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the God of Israel. It's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in the midst of that, if people are disrespectful and irreverent and lie and steal, there'll be judgment.
Yeah, that's right.
Just like it used to be.
Yes, sir.
He wanted, he craved Naaman's gold and silver, and there was something attached to it. There's numerous reasons why God would say, don't touch it. Leave it alone. Don't take a dollar. Because the first person who got it, I mean, as bad as Naaman ever was, the Bible said he walked out of the room white. That's dead flesh. And he died that way. And it was passed on to his descendants. And people say, well, why did God do that to him? Did God do that to him? Did God make him lie? God make him covet the money? No. Spiritual laws work. Whether you think they should or not. Is it important to do it God's way?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, everybody. Thank you, Lord.